Well, traditionally, there is a lot of focus on the first 100 days of any new world leader. But in just half that time, the returned US President Donald Trump has redrawn political rules and boundaries at home and abroad. And his speech in recent days to the US Congress suggests he is only just getting started. We're joined on the line now by CNN anchor and chief national correspondent John King. John, the speed and the depth of change in US politics in the last 50 days, which the rest of the world is currently feeling, how is that reflected in the US? How is Mr. Trump doing in the polls?
His numbers are down a little bit, and good morning from Washington. His numbers are down a little bit, and I think we'll see this, watch this play out as we get to, you know, past, we're in the 40 days now range, and when we get to 100 days and more, we'll have to keep an eye on it. His mandate in the election was to fix the economy and close the border, and a lot of the other things he's doing, a trade war right now, insulting our allies, completely reversing U.S. policy when it comes to Ukraine, and essentially seems to be siding more with Putin than with Zelensky and the Ukrainian democracy. It's caused a little bit of whiplash around the world and here in the United States. And the difference is it's so strikingly different from President Biden, which President Biden was did very rare public events, didn't speak much. Biden was almost invisible, and Trump is now inescapable. And you do see, you do begin to see, I don't, wouldn't make too much of this right now, but you do begin to see something in the polling that says, keep an eye on this, that even some of his own voters think, you know, Mr. President, do the things we elected you to do, and you seem to be too busy off doing either personal vendettas or issues we don't care that much about. And there have been very concerns. You do see evidence of concern in the polls about the role of Elon Musk.
Having vowed, as you say, to fix inflation and lower prices pretty much on day one, Mr. Trump, he's under pressure to deliver fast. But do you think that his supporters are still prepared to give him some time, weeks, maybe months, or maybe they just want an answer as soon as possible?
I think you have to sort of break down his supporters and slice the pie into different slices. His firm base, which is 35-40% of the American people, I wouldn't say that to them Mr. Trump can do no wrong, but they give him a long leash. They give him a lot of leeway, and they give him the benefit of the doubt. But there are a number of people. He won the election because a lot of the Republicans who had given up on him and voted for Joe Biden, independents who had given up on him and voted for Joe Biden, came back to Donald Trump in the second election. And they did that because they were overwhelmingly concerned about the cost of living. They agreed with him that especially the southern border of the United States had not been properly enforced. And so that small group, the swing group that can turn him from the man who won 49% of the vote, almost a majority, back to somebody who has, you know, 38-40% support, that's the group to keep an eye on. His base is never going to leave him, but that other swing group is very important. And that's where you do see some signs of, you know, sir, keep your focus.
Well, it is all about the economy, and not just at home, but right across the world. What are the concerns about tariffs and any potential negative impact? We've heard so much talk from Donald Trump about tariffs and where he might strike next.
Well, that to me is the fascinating part, because Donald Trump is often inconsistent. He does change his mind about a number of issues. And frankly, this is a sad thing to say about the president of the United States, but he says a lot of things that aren't true. He's been consistent on tariffs going back and protectionist trade policies going back to the 1970s. But this is an example of where he's hurting himself, because the uncertainty about the tariffs, first they were on again, they were off again, on again, off again. Then he did impose some tariffs. He's hurt himself. That has hurt the American economy, and it's actually driving up costs. It's driving up uncertainty. It's driving down consumer confidence. But this is one issue where I would say to anybody listening is to take him at his word when he's been beating up on the Canadians, beating up on Mexico. It's a remarkably successful partnership here in, you know, North America between these three countries. And he's ripping it up right now and causing a lot of stress in that relationship. You've heard him in the first term, and now you're hearing him again go after the European Union, saying it's, you know, treats America unfairly, and he's going to do something about it. This new tariffs on China. So the global economy already was a little wobbly, and he's injecting even more uncertainty and in a very combative way into those conversations. And so you see our Canadian neighbors to the north, you see all across Europe and the members of the NATO alliance, people rethinking, fundamentally rethinking their relationship with the United States. Both, do we want to be in these groups, whether it's an economic trading group or NATO, the big national security partnership? You see people rethinking that. And also more basically, they think, you know, the president of the United States has bad manners right now. He's not treating us like a friend or a neighbor. And we might need to look elsewhere for partners.
Well, when it comes to tariffs, it's been described as something of a weaponization of uncertainty. And this changing to and fro between imposing tariffs, then rowing back on some, delaying others. Is there a chance that this becomes a less effective tool in dealing with other countries the more that Donald Trump uses it?
I think you raise a great point about in any relationship, you need some predictability. What is this person like? What does this person really want? And I was just in Canada for several days, for example, and the business community there is scratching its head because this has been such a great thriving relationship. And they're like, there's no consistency in this man. We cannot plan. And so some people say it makes him look weak. You know, Donald Trump's image is he likes to project strength. A lot of the people up there and even some people in his own inner circle are saying, sir, make up your mind. Even if we disagree with your decision, make a decision instead of keep going back and forth. But so I do think you'll see some people say it's not worth our time. We need to find other markets because we can't deal with this unpredictable man. However, it's still he's the president of the United States. It's the world's largest economy, the world's leading economy. And some of these groups, some of these relationships have been in place for decades or more. And so it's disruptive and infuriating to some people, but I do think you will see some people try to look over the horizon and say, do we need to fundamentally change who we do business with?
What do you think, John, are the biggest differences you see between President Trump's first term and his second term so far?
He learned two important lessons in the first term. Number one, don't have anybody around you on your team who is going to say no. This is a team of people who are going to say yes. In the first term, he had Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. He had General Kelly as his Chief of Staff, more establishment figures who took Donald Trump's sort of outside-the-box ideas and tried to push them back into the, not maybe not the mainstream, but toward the mainstream anyway. This time, he has hired people who, it's a cliche, but when he says jump, they say how high. It's all people who are full Trumpies, and they've put them all across the departments in the United States government. That's the first lesson. He will have no one around him he does not think is loyal. The other lesson is he remembers that 2 years into his first term, the Democrats won the midterm elections. Nancy Pelosi became speaker, and that put the brakes. That really stopped a lot of his initiatives. That's why every day it seems like he's doing 6, 8, 10, 12 things. He's trying to have a burst out of the box because he has in the back of his mind the lesson that in his first term, he really only had 2 years where he had real power.
Where does all of this leave the Democratic Party? What, if anything, can they do now to counter Mr. Trump and his rate of change?
Well, I think any observer, whether it's here in the United States or in Ireland or around the world, would see the Democratic Party is a little bit lost right now, a little bit confused about what to do. You do see some Democrats starting to get on the, use the word reckless, that yes, the American people want the economy fixed, but not in, like, when it comes to this back and forth about tariffs, not in a reckless, confusing way. Some people are doing that, but they're the party out of power. And it's our tradition in the United States that when your party's out of power, it takes a while. It will probably take at least through the midterm elections, and then we'll be gearing up for the next presidential election. Democrats have a lot of questions. Who's their leader? Do they have one leader? Which issue? Trump is active on so many issues. We've touched on several of them, but there are dozens more. Which issue do you think that's where we're going to plant our flag? That's where we think we can win the attention of the American people. So it's been a very hit or miss process for the Democrats so far. And that's one of the things that benefits Trump. There's no one leading Democratic figure that the country respects and listens to.
Well, finally, John, Ireland's Taoiseach Micheál Martin goes to the White House for the annual St. Patrick's Day visit this week. Do you have any advice for him ahead of that meeting with President Trump?
I don't give advice to politicians. I certainly wish the Taoiseach well. I'm looking forward as a son of Galway, as I like to say. I'm very proud that he's coming to the United States. I was here when the previous Taoiseach came as well. I think one thing a lot of people have learned from President Trump is don't make it personal. We know there are differences in the relationship right now between the United States and Ireland and the United States and Europe, the United States and many of its democratic partners around the world, concerns about trade. There were concerns about President Biden when it came to Israel-Palestine. There are even more concerns in Europe and in Ireland and others about Donald Trump in Israel because he tends to give Netanyahu a full green light. So there are tensions. There's also historical friendship, of course. So I would come in with the base of the positive, the great relationship, and then raise your concerns firmly, but quietly. And don't make it personal because that's when he tends to get combative.
John King, CNN anchor and chief national correspondent, many thanks for joining us. Coming up, some of the worst clashes in Syria since the fall of Bashar al-Assad and the latest on the arrest of Sinn Féin TD Thomas Gould.